The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when the people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs in Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory. And his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Ever since Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, it was God's promise that he would be their rescuer, their healer, their savior. And he mapped out a plan that he's been carrying out to this day, because it's not just Adam and Eve, it's every one of us after that. And of course, it's a progressive plan. It doesn't begin just with right from the beginning and then it just all runs, just happens automatically, but rather little by little, he's developing it and preparing in as much as we are ready and able to receive it over millennia, all the way up to the time of Jesus Christ. And even after that, he still has to, with each one of us, take us through a similar journey, or there where there's parallels. There's we have our own adventures in the wilderness and being rescued from slavery in Egypt. And there's so many things that kind of happen in a metaphorical sense, but in a very real spiritual sense for us. Now, last week we had the baptism of our Lord, and that was one of the 7 sacraments that he was instituting right there. Today, we have another one of the sacraments, the wedding at Cana, matrimony. That all these sacraments, these are 2 out of 7, and each one of these is healing and restoring something that was broken back at the fall. Something that was distorted, maybe it'd be another way to think of it, or slightly damaged. Not completely destroyed, but damaged and twisted in some way. Marriage itself lasted. Adam and Eve didn't separate. They stayed together through that time. Yet in other ways, original sin destroyed the love between, well, they're definitely destroyed between Cain and Abel, where a cause of the fall, hatred and envy came coming in. But what I want to focus on today is this of matrimony, the sacrament that Christ has given us to heal the division, the distrust, the rupture in the relationship between man and woman. Because before the fall, there is complete and total harmony and this complete giving of one to the other, and there's no tension, no strife whatsoever. Not in their relationship with God, not in their relationship with each other, and not in relationship with the rest of creation. Everything was in complete, beautiful, wonderful harmony. And that's why existentially we kind of know that it's kind of had to have been that way. And it must, if God is at all fair, it must be that's where he's taking us, even though that's not what we're living now fully. So most of you out here, and I'm doing a scan, like literally here just to see, are probably either not married, still single, or maybe engaged. There'll be a couple of you that are married, but probably not the majority. I'm taking a guess. So that's still on the horizon, or maybe it just happened recently. You'll be going to weddings. You either have you have your summers where it's just like one wedding after another for a period of about like 3 years, and then it all dries up. And then it's baptisms, and it's that the same cycle starts again. So you've seen weddings. I hope they're beautiful, amazing. We do a bunch here. We just did one last Saturday, and we have more that are scheduled coming up. And I really enjoy it so much, because to get to be literally about 3 feet away from a couple who is promising and making this oath to give themselves to each other for the rest of their life, and to see that close, the expression on their faces, it's really cool. It's awesome, really. And nobody else gets to see it because the cameras aren't allowed up this close, because it'd be awkward for everybody else. And so I get honestly, I am tempted sometimes like to take my phone out and record it, but I know that'd be like pretty gauche, so I don't do that. But in that moment, it's such a wonderful beginning. It's sublime. It is. And it's for pretty much everyone, it's the most important thing in the biggest moment of their life up until that moment there. When kids come along, it enriches it and then deepens it. But it's almost like that's the real beginning of it right there. And in effect, although the vows that they there's a formula for that, and it's, but in essence, what they're saying is, everything that I am is now yours. And everything that you are is now mine. I don't belong to myself anymore. I belong to you. And you belong to me. And it's this great gift of just the utmost generosity and selflessness that's happening there. And as a sacrament, if we do that, not in front of the magistrate down at City Hall, well, that's good enough, that's for some, but we come here, and literally right here in front of the altar of the Almighty God, in the same place where thousands and thousands of individuals, couples have come forward here to do the exact same thing in the exact same place. We're making this oath on the altar to say, even though this will be difficult, so help me God, I want to do this. As a sacrament, God takes the souls and literally binds them together. And the two shall become one. He brings their souls together in a communion that wasn't there before. A spiritual communion, a covenant. And he blesses it and he sustains it. And we pray for God to bless it in fruitfulness. And literally the most fruitful thing that families, if they're able, is to have children. Wonderful, wonderful. It's kind of like, can even like break your head a little bit when you really think about it, how incredible it is that God so ordained and ordered the world that new life doesn't grow on a tree, at least not for humanity. It does for plants and stuff like that. It comes from a moment with this unconditional, lifelong commitment and selflessness. This greatest generosity that either two has ever mustered up, and they've been preparing for it, that's where life comes from. Received into this stability and this security of this great love that is now being literally fruitful in having children. It's the most selfless, magnanimous, generous thing that you can do with your life, or one of the most that you can do. Lifelong, unconditional. And in that moment, when the couple comes together in marital intimacy, God creates a new soul. That's when it happens right there. In that context of giving and generosity and love. God breathes, this is what we believe in the Catholic Church, that although the physical elements come together from the man and the woman, that God actually does breathe a new soul into existence at that moment, a new life. He's like, he's promised it. He's set it up in our biology such that we can know that if the couple comes together in this way, God's promise, like, yeah, I'm going to be there. This is what I do. I give life. His generosity is just abound, and he's done that billions and billions of times. And it's happened for each one of us standing here. Now, we know that new life doesn't always come and doesn't always arrive as the fruit of that kind of a loving, giving relationship. There's a lot lesser things where it comes from, but that's not the way our Lord had intended it. He gives us free will, and that can be abused and used in other ways. Now, you're going to have to forgive me for a second, because you know the expression to, like, touch the third rail? I mean, you're here in New York. You should get it. Like, on the subway, there's the two rails, and then there's that third rail. That's where all the electricity is. If you're standing on one of those rails, and you reach out there and touch that third one, it's like, yeah, there's a light show going on, and the lights around will dim for a second. I'm going to do that here for just a second. If you'll bear with me, then please, as the lights might... This might get a little, but I want to go into, like, a super, super sensitive subject that I know I can only do in this setting right here with you guys, because there's no kids here, and in it, and it's like, really, this is some sensitive stuff. But I think the church owes it to you to talk about these things. So here we go. I'm going to reach out here and just. Phew. There has been a great darkness that has come into the relationship between men and women when they use this intimacy that is designed for the greatest, most loving, selfless generosity to create new life, when they say, yeah, that's great, but I'm not going to have the new life part. God, could you stand over there for just a bit? We don't want to have this commitment really be fruitful. As a matter of fact, we're actually not committed to each other at all. This is just, you know, we're just here. It's just this evening. And so please, could you stand outside the room? And God's got this new life he's ready and would love to create. We take intimacy, and when we pull it out of matrimony, or even inside of matrimony, and just put this blocker so that God doesn't come in and create the soul. Love your gifts, Lord. You're awesome. Not today, please. Maybe some other time. Now, I think most of you have figured out I'm speaking about contraception. Because that's what we're doing. We're telling God, no, back off. And then what we're using is this gift of what in the church sees, that the relationship between a man and a woman, this is such a beautiful, holy, noble thing, and that's why new life comes from there. But when we abuse it by using it for just lesser goals and we're trying to get all the greatest good but at the lowest cost. And so I don't want to have to make a commitment. And so it cheapens it. The highest reward without any real personal sacrifice of commitment, saying that I'm going to be with you forever. And as new life comes, we accept that and we rejoice in that. So we drain it out of its meaning, and it happens again and again and again, such that walking into matrimony, now this intimate relation really doesn't have much meaning, because it's all kind of worn out. Did I get electrocuted yet? If you would like to read more about this. Christopher West is a great theologian, and he's really unpacked what I'm speaking about. This is coming from Paul VI, Humanae Vitae. This is John Paul II leaned into this very much so in his theology of the body. Christopher West has unpacked it. Jason Everett, Christopher West, you can find videos online with him. Same with Jason Everett. You could really unpack this. And I know this is probably not what you came here to listen to today. I'm sure it's not. And I apologize that this maybe was a little bit abrupt, but it's like there's not a whole lot of other opportunities throughout the year to really kind of like bring this up when it's also kind of like, yeah, just that there's enough of a homogenous audience here. Okay, anyways, that was supposed to be an aside. That's not the main homily. So let me just put that over there and we're going to come forward. Because what I want you to think about too is when there is this commitment that's been given to each other and it's been blessed and they've been open to new life and new life comes in and there's children. It's just what the richness of what that is just keeps giving and giving and giving. It's like a flywheel that just keeps going. And as beautiful as a wedding is, I can tell you one thing, what's way more beautiful is a 50th wedding anniversary. I'm gonna get to do it next weekend. I'm gonna be visiting friends that they're gonna celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. And it's because what they do is they, you have a mass and they say the same vows again. But this time, it's not the first time. This is after 50 years of giving themselves again and again and saying day after day, my life is not mine, it's yours. And your life is mine. And despite the temptation and having fallen so many times of like pulling back and cutting corners on that commitment, on that sacrifice, and then renewing it and renewing it, it's like what happens to their hearts is they become greater and more generous and more generous, and they're growing and they're maturing in their relationship with each other. And at 50 years, what you have is absolutely pure gold. It's beautiful. And when they say those vows, it's there's silence in the room, and the children and the grandchildren are watching them and listening to hear it, because they themselves are fruit of that sacrifice and that generosity and that commitment and that love. Their love has been long suffered because of their commitment to each other, sealed by God's grace. They suffer for each other. They suffer because of each other too. And because of that, they grow in grace, generosity, patience, humility, fortitude, forgiveness. This is all kind of, and we'll be wrapping this up here, but this is all kind of built into the gospel passage right here, what we just listened to, because our Lord, part of the miracle of changing the water to the wine, he asked them to fill up these water jars, these stone water jars. There's how many? There's six of them, and 20 to 30 gallons. That's a lot of water. That's a lot of wine. And you know, we get the analogy. You've been to enough weddings, probably. Okay, the water is the ordinary stuff that we all bring to the table, but Jesus turns our ordinary sacrifices and turns it into wine. His wine's really great. Wine's wonderful. We can celebrate. And so, with Jesus there, we have a happy wedding throughout the whole marriage. But I want you to just think about something, because those jars are made for purification. That's what those jars were there for other washings, not for the wedding itself. Purification. The grace and the blessing of the wine that God wants to give you is coming from the purification, and 20 to 30 gallons of it in every jar. That's a lot. There's a lot of purification that God wants to do in you by making this big, huge commitment to somebody else. Lifelong commitment. He's going to stretch you out and purify you and strengthen you because of it. It's not easy. This is the unsung advantage, the benefit of marriage. I have a couple that lives over in Brooklyn. I was just having dinner with her. They've been married maybe 4 years, and they have two kids now. And I was asking them, so give me a little bit, like, what's the before and after like for your marriage? And both of them just like, no, this is the best thing we could have ever done with our lives, especially with the kids. And they even couched it in terms of, you know, like the mom was saying, yeah, I really watch what I say and the way I act and the way I hold myself and the language that I don't use anymore, but I used to, and the kind of attitude that I have, I'm really on my toes, and it's hard, but it's so much better. And then her husband was saying, yeah, work has become just so much more work, as in like going to work, has become that much more meaningful because now I've got such a bigger why for going to work. And he worked hard before and he's done well, but it's like it has even deeper meaning for him because he knows he's got those two kids back home and his wife that's who he's doing all this work for. So there's great meaning that comes from that. So anyways, I hope that all of you will have the blessing of wonderful, beautiful, happy marriages. If that's not what you're called to, the priesthood is a similar kind of a sacrifice, although it's to a lot more people, and I don't get to choose you guys. You just show up, and marriage, you get to at least choose each other. But so it has its own purification process. But it's what our Lord wants to do is he's working on our souls and all of these things. He's healing us, bringing us back to the beautiful gifts that we had lost in the Garden of Eden. He's going to be recreating it through these sacraments, strengthening us, and taking us on that journey.